Hello and welcome to Flourish, a wellness podcast for Caribbean women. And my name is Narissa Golden and I'm so happy to be here with you. I want to introduce my co-host, Sonia Charles. Hi, Sonia.
Hello, Narissa, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this amazing journey.
Now, we've got a guest with us today. This is our first official guest on the podcast, Shelly Alfonso. She is the founder and president of the Positive Foundation out of St. Martin. And this is Dutch St. Martin. But of course, if you know the island, there are two sides, Dutch and French. And you can't really do one side without connecting and impacting the other. So welcome, Shelly.
Thank you, Narissa. Thank you very much, Sonia. It is indeed an honor to be your first guest on this program.
Good, wonderful. Now, there's a reason, too, why I think it's important that you be the first, because as we've been talking about the journey from the start of Sonia's project on Montserrat, as it involved breast cancer awareness, you were one of the catalysts that helped her to make that decision and to, you know, really get that off the ground. So let's talk about the Positive Foundation. I know the work because I knew you personally before the foundation started, but also I've watched over the years how it's evolved and expanded and just the continuous impact you have. Talk to us about what led you to starting the Positive Foundation.
Initially, we started the Positive Foundation, and by we, I mean my sister and I, because we recognized on St. Martin that clinics, general practitioners' offices had literature that was not relevant to what was happening in the community. And we decided that we were going to change that. So we started the foundation to bring more health awareness. And ambitiously, we thought that we were going to do a health awareness project, one health awareness project per month. And our very first project was actually breast cancer awareness. And that then took a life of its own. And I say ambitiously to say that we wanted to tackle a new health awareness campaign each month, but life have its own challenges. So then we were basically working on breast cancer awareness, and we launched that as our very, very first campaign back in 1998. And it was a simple campaign at that time. We arranged screenings, we did a walk, and all of this, we partnered with different organizations to be able to do this.
Amazing, amazing. So you had big plans to do like different aspects of health, because, you know, diabetes and heart conditions and stuff are all issues within, you know, Caribbean communities. So I could understand the desire, but what really clued you in that there was something happening around breast cancer cause that was important for you to lean in a bit more on that?
Definitely feedback from the community. When women went out to get checked or to get tested, we would receive a number of calls saying, I'm so glad that you did this because I have not had the opportunity to do this. I wasn't even aware that I needed to do this. And now that I have, I'm grateful to you. And especially if there is a diagnosis. And we have basically been able to train from high school students on about being breast aware over the years to introducing women to support groups, you know, over time. Through our fundraising events, we have been able to help organizations like Sonia's in Montserrat to get started. And we've also done similar things for the island of St. Eustatius to get their cancer awareness organizations off the ground. And they mirror and copy a lot of the activities that we do on St. Martin. They will do the similar things in St. Eustatius as well. Very often, Sonia would share with me some of the projects that she's working on to bring awareness to her campaigns in Montserrat. And oftentimes, I can actually take some of what it is that she's using to implement on St. Martin as well to be able to enhance the campaign.
That's brilliant. Sonia, talk to us about that time when you reached out to Shelly in terms of that conversation that you had. And did that help to kind of allay the fears that you had about, you know, really expanding what you were wanting to do with the Pink Ribbon Walk?
In actual fact, when we started looking at breast cancer awareness on Montserrat, it was, it never happened before. And I needed a reference point, and I was introduced to Shelly via a fellow NAGIC or colleague on Montserrat. And that helped me to solidify the actual ideas and to look at how we can basically raise funds to do what we had planned to do. And it was a lot, but we very quickly scaled it down to raising funds to offer mammograms to women on Montserrat. And Shelley was very supportive in the beginning in sending us little trinkets, boxes of merchandise so that we can sell and raise some funds, and also little bits of information for the women, reading material and stuff that they could take away, because at that time we were not printing anything. But Shelley was very supportive, and I must say, really, I thank her, because those formative years are some of the reasons why we had our great successes, because I had an opportunity to see what was being done on St. Martin and emulate, if not everything, elements of what she was doing. Montserrat has a very small population, so we could not implement everything. But the small things that we could do, we did them, and they turned out to be a great success. Yeah. Thank you.
No, something the two of you just said that literally broke a stereotype or a rule or perception about how women is that you guys have been collaborating, you've been cooperating, and there was no shame in one asking for help to giving the help, thinking, okay, this person is trying to copy, dominate, change, follow me, all of those things. And each of you we're able to just lean into the other and say, oh, I like that idea. I'm going to use it over here. I like that idea. I'm going to use it over here without feeling as if that person is stepping on your territory. And, often we hear that women don't support each other, but clearly you're showing not only were you trying to support the women in your country, but you were also willing to reach across the seas and do the same thing. Now, Shelley, you said you started in 1998 and you're almost up on the 30-year mark. Talk to us a bit about the structure of your organization. You said it was you and your sister. Is it still just you and your sister in the organization?
For the Positive Foundation, yes, it is still the two of us in the organization. When we have projects, for example, when we are doing any of the campaigns, then we bring on volunteers to assist. But we've also partnered, and this is where a lot of it comes in, is that we've partnered, and the collaboration that you just talked about really works for us in that we've partnered with an organization called the Electrolytes Foundation to be able to execute a number of the projects that we have been able to execute over the years. And we've also formed partnerships with the St. Martin Medical Center, for example, as well as the SLS Labs to be able to drive our campaign and our testing and our screening, because we are a nonprofit organization with limited resources, but with collaboration and with sharing of information and having people share the same vision has been able to enhance to what we call for breast cancer awareness now a pink movement.
That's brilliant. How have you been able to get other people who have that same passion? Is there a secret to finding the right collaborators? Because often that's the challenge, is to find volunteers that are willing to give up their time. Because you said it's a nonprofit. You don't exactly have a big budget and you're paying everyone to do stuff. So what's the secret you found to finding the right team members to collaborate with?
Well, I think that has worked really well for us on a number of occasions. We reached out, we explained clearly what it is we want. We know exactly what it is that we want to get to our community. And then from our partner's point of view, we see how we can then fit them in and make the product that they want to get out there as well be just as important as the awareness message that we want to share. Having said that, we've partnered with, for example, with Winair, where Winair pilots wore pink amplets on their shoulders and the planes had a pink ribbon on it for a while. And you would think, well, how is that going to bring awareness? But remember, Winair flies throughout the Caribbean. So we were able to then get our message not just on St. Martin, but regionally as well. So it is looking and not just being focused on, I need to get my awareness message, but looking at your partner to see what elements they can bring to the table as well that will then enhance that awareness message.
That's brilliant, because then you're also enhancing that corporate partner's social responsibility that they're able to say, we believe in this and we're doing that. So collaboration is and finding the right partners is brilliant. So how exactly are you funding the initiatives that you do in October?
Funding primarily comes from fundraising activities. There's one signature activity that we've been doing, and this year will mark our 10th year doing it, is the Pink Sunset Sail. So we will basically be partner with Aquamania Adventures. They put out two to three catamarans on a particular day. People buy tickets, we go out, we look at the sunset. It's a relaxing cruise. Then the funds raised from that is then given to the foundation to be able to execute its projects. We've also partnered with the American University on St. Martin, and they have a grant program which we will write for a grant. And very often, every time we've written, actually, we've actually gotten funding from them for different aspects of the campaign. Local businesses as well, we have approached them with our awareness campaigns and what it is that we would like to do, and they have also been generous and participated and shared their funding with us so that we are able to continue our work.
Ladies, I wanted both of you to have a conversation right now for me about the issues that you see within the community as it relates to why your work is important. Is it still as important now as it was 15 years ago when you first did the Pink Ribbon Walk on Montserrat, Sonia, and 27 years ago when you started? Where are we now in this awareness around breast cancer and women's health?
When we started out in early 2009-10, it was about what is breast cancer awareness? And we had to send that message out. And once individuals realized that, this is something that we need to do, we need to be aware, we need to know about our breast. And they took on that message and it was new to them, but they listened to what we had to say. And they also participated. There were lots of seminars, evening sessions around Montserrat, where we brought people in different areas of Montserrat to come and listen to what was breast cancer awareness. And that in itself helped the women to themselves spread the news within the work community, within the church, and within their friends and family. But moreover, the awareness program, we didn't have to put much money into that aspect of sharing the message. But what we put the money into was getting individuals to travel over to Antigua to have the mammograms done once we had the funds. Because fundraising is very difficult in a small community. And our activities of fundraising were very small. So we were leaning on the business community quite a lot for giving us donations, participating in our various projects that we had. And the women saw that the business community was eager to help them. To get what they wanted. And that was a 360. So they said, okay, if the business community is helping to pay for our mammograms, then we can do something to help you. We will participate. We will buy t-shirts. We'll buy memorabilia. We would buy whatever you have to raise those funds. And today we are talking 15 years down the road, 14 years to 15 years, women will still say, I remember my first mammogram. I remember what it felt like. And the mammogram I did on Montserrat was the first mammogram I had. And this person was in their 50s, going on to 60. They had never had a mammogram. And there were lots of women like that on Montserrat, whereby if only when they traveled abroad that they would have an opportunity to have a mammogram. But here we were on a small island like Montserrat, having the funds available to send individuals over to Antigua and partnered with the Belmont Clinic in Antigua, who gave us a really good 50% discount at the time. And when the women on Montserrat saw that, it was not just the fundraising from Montserrat that energized them. It was the fact that you had someone on another island in a medical center participating in the program. And that really helped them to support us even more.
That's brilliant, because you basically there it's a signal that this is important. I should be paying attention here. And you'd almost think that you shouldn't have to, because a woman should prioritize her health, but we know that's not always the case. Just to before I switch over to Shelley, how many people over the years do you think has had a mammogram through the program, the Pink Ribbon Mammogram Fund?
We're topping beyond 500, around about there. Yeah, beyond 500 plus.
That's brilliant. Shelley, no, like I said, the question is, has it changed? Do we still need to be prioritizing telling women that they should get a mammogram? Is that still the situation? Yes, I understand we always have a new generation of women who get there, but is it has the word gotten around enough, you think?
The word has gotten around. I can never say that it is enough. St. Martin, as you know it, is a very cosmopolitan island. So we have many different nationalities on the island. Our campaign has been predominantly in English, but most recently we have encouraged Spanish campaigns as well as Creole campaigning as well to be able to reach our population and to reach the women. But yes, I think that we still need to do more in terms of awareness and our education. Basically, we talk about being breast aware, knowing what your what is normal for your breast before asking your doctor to prescribe that mammogram for you. So we educate a lot of women on what to look for, what their breast tissue should be like, what are the signs that they should be looking for, and at what age they should normally start looking for this. But more and more, we're getting feedback from people that younger and younger women within our community are being diagnosed with breast cancer. And in some instances, women, one case, a doctor reported to me about a woman that had just given birth, but was at stage 3 or stage 4 breast cancer, simply because this was not something that they looked for within her age bracket. So this is why our education is focusing a lot on knowing your breasts, and our campaign Be Breast Aware basically does that, knowing what your breast looks like, feel like, what are the signs and symptoms that you should be looking out for. While we are St. Martin and part of the Dutch community, we don't necessarily have the same luxuries as our sister islands, Saba and St. Eustatius, where now, because of their relationship with the Netherlands, they have mandatory screenings for women over 50 years of age, and they come to St. Martin for that screening, because Sonia said that the islands are really small and don't necessarily have the facilities to offer the screenings, so they come to St. Martin for that. But we've also benefited from that, because it meant that the Netherlands trained our hospital personnel. They've provided equipment. They've set markers, benchmarks where, how this should be done. People on St. Martin are now saying that going in for a mammogram is quite a pleasant experience. This is some of the feedback that we've gotten, because the person there doing the mammogram will explain the process as they go along. Say, I'm going to touch you here. This may hurt a little bit. So they feel a little bit more comfortable. So it is all an enhancing process. So we've gained and we've benefited from this relationship as well. And I would say that for us, the work is never done to be able to bring about awareness and saying that our community need to be more breast aware. We participate, for example, in breastfeeding campaigns, because we know that that is one area whereby women can reduce their risk for breast cancer by breastfeeding. So we look for avenues where we can basically share our message about being breast aware.
Let's just answer that question really quickly. Sonia, is there an average woman's framework of what our breasts should look like, or is every woman's breast different?
Everyone is different. And as we have been doing on Montserrat for the last few years, is to get women to visit their doctor. We've had our program in October where women visit the doctor or the clinic, and we set up programs where they're going to get the breast examined. And one of the things that is taught is that you have to look at your breast in the mirror. You must look at the breast in the mirror. Is it dimple? Are there any dimples there? Skin changes? Is the nipple inverted? Is the nipple looking a bit like crusty and like basically you have any changes to the nipple, the shape, the size? Does it look inflamed? Are there any lumps in the breast? Can you feel the breast as you go around the breast in a clockwise or even an anti-clockwise position with the flat of your fingers? Can you feel anything? And women are now being more aware because our campaign on Montserrat, like Shelley just mentioned, those campaigns about being breast aware, our campaign on Montserrat has taken the women into the clinic once a year, and we encourage them to see their GP, see the nurse in the clinic, and to understand because a lot of women are scared to touch the breasts and to examine themselves. But we are very much aware that breast self-exam is also a crucial part of what we are trying to share in the community. And looking at the breast and knowing that it looks different. Some women do have one breast bigger than the other. We're not looking for those areas. We're looking for any kind of skin changes and anything that looks abnormal from the armpit, because the breast tissue goes all the way to the armpit, from the armpit to just around above the breast and side to side from the breastbone. So the women must, especially for women with larger breasts, it's so important to make sure that you examine that breast in the shower. If you're in the shower, it's nice because your skin is soapy and you get that done while the skin is wet. And make sure that you do this and as often as possible.
Thank you so much for that, Sonia. I think it's one of the things you said. It's fine. You get to October and a lot of awareness comes around that, but it's something that a woman actually should do every month. And you can do it every day.
Yes.
Actually check your breast just to look for that. Shelley, do you find that with your organization, have you seen a change in how women support each other in terms of their health?
Certainly, and that's part of what we would do as the Positive Foundation and the Electrolytes Foundation is that when we're bringing a serious message, is that we also have a fun part of it in like infotainment, so to speak. So we're delivering this message and we're also having some entertainment happening. So women come together as one. Yes, you still have people who tend to keep things to themselves or don't want anybody to know, but they will whisper it to you and all of and that sort of thing. But more and more women are getting together. They are ensuring that their friends are getting checked. They're ensuring that even if there is a diagnosis, that they're following up with their friends to ensure that this is happening. And we've recently had this May will actually be 2 years that we've started a support group. And this group has about 60 or so members. And it's actually three organizations collaborating with this support group. Maso, Marcelina Loblack, started the Still Beautiful Foundation. And she, recognizing that there needed to be counseling on her own, would counsel women, talk to women. If somebody was diagnosed at the hospital, a nurse would call her if somebody needed to have a conversation because they were afraid or didn't know what their next steps were. And she would go there and do this all the time. We have another survivor, Lydia Vanterpool, who's also done this. She's actually taken money out from her own pocket and bought prosthesis for women who can't afford to get their own prosthesis. So there are women who really believe and support each other. And in the last 2 years, we've partnered with the Still Beautiful Foundation to make the support group more formal. So we meet one Thursday every month, and we have guest speakers, and we share with the women of the group. They actually provide us with the topics that they would like for us. So they share, hey, we would like to see this. We need more information on diet. We need more information on food. We need information on reconstructive surgery. And we are able, with our facilitator, Shirley Saboni, provide this information to the women once a month, and we meet on the last Thursday of every month.
Now, something else that both of you have done over the years is you've actually now started to include the men. And Shelley, wise enough, your organization is not called the Breast Cancer Foundation. It's a Positive Foundation. So you could almost spread into anything health related there. And so you guys have been working with promoting awareness around prostate cancer. And I know Sonia did the same thing on St. Martin. So how did you choose to actually add in that conversation? Did the guys say, "What about us?"
We did actually have the guys saying, "What about us?" But more importantly, in 2019, two urologists joined the St. Martin Medical Center, and they were actually blown away by the amount of prostate issues, late stage prostate issues that they were seeing in the men that were coming to see them. And they actually were the ones to call us in and say that you need to be able to do a prostate cancer awareness campaign, and because we're seeing men where their prostate issues are being diagnosed way too late. It's in late stages, and that is a huge concern, and you need to do something about it. So within, I think we got the call maybe in 2019, like the first week in September. 2 weeks later, we were able to pull together a Man Up checkup campaign. The Man Up checkup campaign predominantly to basically take away that stigma from the men that, you're a man, you want to be able to say that you are macho. So here is your opportunity to be able to do so. So the Man Up checkup campaign was launched together with the St. Martin Medical Center. We partnered with Napa Auto Parts. So we actually, and Coiman. So we went to a hardware store where men would gather. We collected and registered them for PSA testing. We started with the PSA testing because that seemed a lot less invasive than the digital rectal examination. And we provided education to them about their prostate. We even had the urologist come out from the hospital setting and was in the hardware store where the men were. We had a men's night out where we invited the people to come into the hardware store during the evening hours, and we had lectures and barbershops set up. And it was really a fun entertainment information evening where only men were invited to the event. Of course, women came with their partners, but it was launched from there. On 2019, we had maybe about 50 men showed up. But last year, we had well over 350 men show up for the screening sessions. So, yes, we are definitely giving the focus and the attention to the men, and they have definitely shown us that this is definitely something that they needed and wanted to get the information on. We still have the men who will tell us stuff like, "I have different blood. I don't need to be screened," or, "That's not for me. I eat well. That's fine. I don't need to do this." But we are seeing men bringing other men, in particular men who have actually gone through some prostate issues and done some treatment. They're bringing along their younger friends, younger men, to the screening sessions, inviting them as well.
That's wonderful because as far as I'm aware, prostate cancer is one of those cancers. If treated early, you can actually survive it. Am I correct?
Definitely, it is one of those issues. And it is one of those things that people thought that only happens to older men. But again, as we see with breast cancer, with younger men are also developing prostate issues.
Wow. Well, so good that both of you are doing this and continue to find different ways to promote, to educate people about this. Before we wrap up, because I can't believe we're out of time already. But Shelley, because one of the things I want to encourage is that we help women to see that you either can sit and wait for something to happen or you can make it happen. So whether if you're feeling unwell, you need to know what's going on, check with your body. But if someone wanted to start an organization like both of you have done to just support in whatever area they feel that they can, could you give us a couple of suggestions as how they can get started and what would be the best practices for, making it a success?
Definitely. For a small island like St. Martin, people may say, "Well, you have still beautiful foundation that is doing breast cancer awareness. You have Electrolytes Foundation doing the similar thing, and you have the Positive Foundation doing it. So how do you then get into that market?" But there are areas within the whole scenario that needs more attention. While we are focusing on breast cancer awareness and support group activities and heightening the awareness, there are women out there who may need counseling because of what it is that they're going going through. On the islands, for example, it may be difficult to get a prosthesis. How, you know, you can start a business offering prosthesis on the islands or something to that effect. But it is knowing, doing some work, some legwork as to what it is that is missing. And there are gaps, don't get me wrong. While we seem to be covering a lot of it, there are gaps within the organization, within the breast cancer awareness, prostate cancer awareness activities. So there are ways that you can get in, but knowing exactly, doing the groundwork, knowing what it is that you want to do and how best you can do it, and not being afraid to reach out and say, hey, I want to do this. How can this then benefit the community? See what ideas we can pitch out and work from there, because we are no strangers to collaboration. It has worked beautifully for us over the years, and we will continue with those collaborations.
That's beautiful because there is strength in numbers. And like you said, there are still opportunities, even within one niche like women's health, that you can cover. Because you talked about the in terms of the counseling that that people need, you maybe even childcare, on the days. Maybe they need transportation to get them to treatment and
All
back
great
because
ideas.
they don't drive, or they're just too weak to, because a lot of times they will tell you that you need to have support. You shouldn't be alone X amount of hours after you've done this. And maybe it's meal prep, there are lots of different
Companionship while
things.
you're doing your chemo, you know, all of those
Yes, someone
are
to just
just.
sit with you. That's also good. So there are different ways that you can get involved in supporting women, or even if you've been through it, or someone has, or you're just concerned about the future of your community. Because I think one thing that we can see, Sonia, it's interesting when Shelley says a small island like St. Martin, and then Montserrat is a fraction of the population of St. Martin, so
Exactly.
it's a smaller island. But it just means that the needs are still there, but there are less people now to supply those needs in a place like Montserrat. So what would be some of the tips that you can add to what Shelley has shared about how you would go about just lending your hand to support other women, or just to get yourself out of that loop that you might be in terms of feeling stuck around your own health, or what you can do to really change things in your community?
I think there is one particular group of women that is out there, and that's within the church. And I think that women's group within the church is a good target for someone who is looking at starting any organization that relates to women's health, that relates to health in general, the men's group in the church, the women's group, because you don't have to try and bring them together. They are already part of a group. And going in to meet them, going in to talk to them. They will be there once a week, once a month, because they are already part of this group. So you can actually, I think the church is a really good start. And also the workplace. If getting into the workplace and saying, well, okay, I'm going to office X once a month and get the manager to say, well, I'll give you half an hour with my ladies or half an hour with my men. These are already groups that are formed because the biggest challenge, Nerissa and Shelley, as we both know, is that time, because childcare after work is an issue. Time off on the weekends is an issue. So the best way to get people together is at the workplace or at church. So I think that those are two areas that on Montserrat that we did not tap into wholeheartedly, but I think that those persons who are wanting to look at forming an organization is to visit these groups, send an invitation out, I'd like to come and do a talk, and go in and speak to them, because you're not going to see them after 4 p.m. or after 5 p.m. They're really busy. So don't ask for a meeting at 6:30 in the evening. They won't be able to make it. And don't ask them on a Saturday morning, you're not going to see them. So, especially if there's a cricket match or there's a sporting event or there's anything that takes them away from home, they do not want to be in a meeting. So, I think the workplace and church are two areas that can be tapped and successfully.
I like that. That's a brilliant idea. And again, you don't need a lot of time. You don't have to wait till October to do something. It could literally be once a month, 30 minutes. You say, okay, let's do a brown bag lunch today and just meet me over here in the lunchroom. And we're just going to have a conversation around your diet as it relates to how it impacts your health, your finances, or some other thing that can help them. I love that, ladies. So, Shelly, give us some info on where we can reach you, what's coming up next for the organization for the year, and just tell us a bit how we can connect with the Positive Foundation or support.
You can reach the Positive Foundation. We're on Facebook. It's the Positive Foundation. We're also on Instagram, also the Positive Foundation. I can be reached. My telephone number is 1-721-580-9658, or you can email me at shelly.alfonso@outlook.com, and we will respond to any one of those when you reach out to us there. For sure, 2025, we are already planning our campaigns. We're reaching out to clinics to do screenings where they will offer screenings throughout the month of October, September, and October. We are reaching out as well to confirm our collaboration with the different institutions like the St. Martin Medical Center to partner with us to offer the mammograms and the SLS lab to do the PSA testing. We are also partnering with the University of the American University of the Caribbean School of Medicine on a research project, which we'll be doing, hopefully be able to collect enough data that we can then share with the government on St. Martin to be able to say, here, these are the ages when women should be screened on St. Martin, because at this point we don't have that information. We use whatever is generically from the from what your doctor thinks, or whether it is the United States, their recommendation, whatever the United States recommends, that the age limits, that's what we're using here. But we want to be able to determine our own, so we've partnered with them and the government of St. Martin to be able to do this. We expect to complete that research project and then share the information on that as well. So we have lots of little things going on, and we are working again on fundraising events. Still can't say too much about that as yet because we need to nail them down, finalize them, and put them out there. But definitely, we are having our Pink Sunset Sale, which is our 10th. This will be our 10th year. And we do our Pink Parade through Phillipsburg as well to support women who are going through the fight for breast cancer awareness and those who may have lost the fight as well.
Thank you so much, Shelley, for being with us today, for sharing a lot about what your journey. Congratulations on just going the distance, because we know it's not easy having a nonprofit in any society, and also just the fact that you've got to work so hard sometimes just to bring women to prioritize themselves and to say, hey, today is about me. I need to show up. I need to go get prep, check my breast. I need to go see the doctor. I need to go to the support group and just tell them, hey, I need help today. I'm not coping. There is support for you. You just need to maybe reach out and tell somebody that you need help. We definitely will put all the data in the show notes so that people can connect with you on, on their preferred social media. We will definitely do that. So thank you so much for being here. Sonia, you got
I'm
any
here.
words for Shelly?
Shelley, I've always said to Nerissa and to anyone I speak to about the breast cancer awareness program on Montserrat, which started with a private company called Carib Scan, and then we formed the charity in 2013. But I always remember my first conversation with you, and subsequently we speak every now and then. I have something to share. And that support has really helped me, even though we've never really had a chance to collaborate in the true sense of the word of you coming to Montserrat or me going to St. Martin to participate. But I've always followed you, and I know that your program has always helped us in Montserrat to emulate, if not copy, to emulate what you're doing, and to make sure that we can rise to the challenge to deliver something as exquisite, educational, and also beneficial to the community. So I want to say, Shelley, thank you so much for your support. And we have stayed on the journey to ensure that women on Montserrat and around the region understand that breast health is important. Breast health is seeing your doctor, and also for you to understand that you have to look after yourself. The organizations can provide funding and activities, but the responsibility for your health is with you, the women and
Thank
men.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And with that, we are going to say thank you for joining us today on Flourish. We'll definitely be back. I'm Nerissa Golden. Talk soon.
You've been listening to Flourish, the wellness podcast for Caribbean women, produced by Rebel Rock Media Limited, music by Peter Spacey. Discover more at wearerebelrock.com.